Embody. Welcome to our podcast, where along with my hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, we explore the joys and challenges of homeschooling and of family life. An awareness of beauty and an appreciation for art in all its forms has been an important aspect of our home education. As you know, the last few episodes, we've talked a lot about beauty and art. Years ago, I discovered Catholic Heritage curricula and was first introduced to their art appreciation resources for young kids. They have an art masterpieces series. A desire for a deeper understanding of art led us to CHC's program, Ever Ancient, Ever New. This program is in two parts. Part one of Ever Ancient, Ever New guides us from ancient art forms to the art of the Renaissance. Part two leads us from the art of the High Renaissance through to the modern era. What really drew us to this program was the art appreciation aspect of it and the history aspect of it with a distinctly Catholic perspective. But the program also presents art theory and opportunity for practice with a companion art pad that comes along with it. They give the children projects that they can work on to practice some of the art skills inherent in the program. CHC materials are always steeped in beauty, and this program is visually delightful. For us, it helped us cultivate a sensitivity for beauty and gave us a solid foundation in the eras of art and the characteristics that define them. The lives of artists and cultural influences that affected art are explored in the context of each chapter. One of the really awesome parts of Ever Ancient, Ever New is that it can be used independently from children about grade five and up, or it can be read together as a family. As something we've really valued in our family, this program makes art appreciation something that parents can share with their children without being overwhelmed by the idea of introducing art. Beautiful, it's simple, it's engaging. I will put a link to the program in the show notes. Have a look, and you can also enjoy all of CHC's art programs that they offer for younger kids as well. I am grateful for CHC's support of this podcast. Thank you. Good afternoon, all my listeners. I am bringing another episode to you where we're going to be talking about creating homes, creating the kinds of homes that we want to raise our families in, and the various ways that we can do that. My guest today is Mariette Rintoul. Welcome, Mariette. I'm so grateful to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
It's lovely. Mariette's handle is, her website is, The Natural Catholic Mom. And her byline is lovely. It's Pursuing Health and Holiness in My Domestic Church. So I think that this is a really great fit for what I'm trying to do in this little series about how do we create homes, because there's many ways, many aspects to creating the kinds of homes that we want. Our last episode was on marriage, and that's, of course, the foundation of our homes. And now we want to look to healthy living, natural living in all its forms, physical, emotional, spiritual, and creating the environment where it's easier to grow in holiness, right? And I think that that's probably a lot of from what I've read of you, probably a lot of where this is coming from. So we'll get into that in a minute, but I was hoping maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your family first and your life.
Sure. So I live in South Dakota in the United States, and I have been married for almost 8 years, and we are expecting our fourth living baby and in October. And I homeschool our children, and I love your book. I definitely subscribe to a more gentle parenting kind of method. And yeah, natural living kind of fell into my lap when I was about 18 years old, actually. And one thing just kind of led to another, and it's really shaped a lot of our home, and just it just touches so much. And I do think that it helps with a healthy and like well-ordered, holy home in many ways.
Mm-hmm. And I was hoping maybe you would tell us sort of a little bit about your mission or your ministry, because obviously this has developed into something quite big for you by sort of sharing your journey. So I was hoping maybe you could just give us a bit of an idea of how that happened.
Sure. Well, so I am, you know, we are quite traditional in our practices in the faith. You know, we attend the traditional Latin Mass, and there's kind of this, I feel like, almost hesitancy amongst more traditional Catholics or conservative Catholics that anything natural is New Age. You know what I mean? Like essential oils is witchcraft and midwives are witchcraft. And so I found myself, I met my husband online. And so when I moved to him on the other side of the country, and I found myself as a newlywed, and then we were pregnant very quickly after marriage, and I was just alone. All of his friends' wives, lovely people, parented and birthed and everything a totally different way than I knew I wanted to. And I just kind of felt like this kind of crazy lone little naturalist amongst my, you know, fellow parishioners and his husband's wives and things and new friends. And so I just kind of, I have a Facebook group I moderated for many years. It's private now. And I just started it because I just wanted to connect with other more traditional Catholic moms that were interested in this. I just kind of felt on my own. And as time has gone on, I have found there are so many other women that are trying so hard to live naturally, eschewing anything new age, you know, but seeing that God rightly ordered things. And there's not something, even if someone in the new age perhaps abuses and uses something that God gave, like, I'm not saying you can't find witches and Wiccans who, you know, practice all kinds of things,
yes,
or use essential oils.
Or homeschool.
Or homeschool. It's not evil in and of itself. And so it just was just this way. I just was so lonely. I just was tired of feeling crazy or like everyone was rolling their eyes if I mentioned cloth diapers or home birth or whatever. And so it just was me trying to find other Catholic moms that were interested in this stuff too, but not in the new age.
Isn't it beautiful how that can happen as a result of our own need? We put ourselves out there and we create a community. I think it's just an amazing way that God uses our weakness, you know, our concerns, yes, exactly, that he can just bring something so amazing out of it. Actually, I was telling my husband and my daughter about that I was interviewing you, and actually Lydia's comment was on that very thing. She said, isn't that nice to be able to have somebody who's really their mission is to live more naturally, because we think of that as a very new age thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we shouldn't really look at natural living as a new age thing. I mean, I think that I understand where that comes from, but at the same time, it's like attachment parenting and cloth diapering. Like, it's not the same thing, right? To be an attachment parent doesn't mean, you know, cloth diapering doesn't mean you're an attachment parent. Neither does attachment parenting mean you must cloth diaper. It's like this, we can't separate, you know, sort of certain aspects of the way we sort of lump people into categories, right? So I'm so grateful for this ministry that you have, because, well, you kind of remind me of me, you know, 30 years ago. For me, that was not the road that I went down. Obviously, I started really wanting to promote natural homeschooling, but it was a bit similar in the sense that, because we have a very organic approach to homeschooling, it was similar in the sense that the Catholics that I was hanging out with, it was all curriculum all day long, and you sit at a desk, and some wore uniforms, and it was so contrary to what my gut was telling me about what was right, you know. So yeah, it's kind of lonely to be that way. And so you become sort of, in an ideal world, you become sort of outspoken about it so that people can be drawn to it, right? Those that are desiring.
And that's how I was homeschooled growing up. We had a few years we wore uniforms, seated, incredibly regimented. Not saying it's bad. I'm so grateful for my mom and her hard work. I know she was really scared at a time when homeschooling was new that everything had to be totally above board because she didn't want
trouble.
Know,
yeah.
To get in trouble or have the government come in because she didn't educate her
right.
Children. But on the flip side, me approaching a more relaxed, gentle, classical method, it's kind of scary. And it always helps me to see someone like you or other readers of mine who are using more classical curriculums or making their own simple ones, you know, to see like, this is okay. Other people are doing this successfully.
We'll all turn out fine. Yeah. But, you know, again, it's just one of those things that God was able to use the weakness, use the, you know, the vulnerability, really, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. How do you feel? So I have a few questions. How do you feel that others can benefit from your journey the most in terms of what you offer? Sort of maybe tell us a little bit about what you offer via your social media, via your website. You know, what do you have that can help people along on the journey?
Sure. Well, I wish I had like a really beautiful roadmap and everything all curated and well thought out. And I feel like as time goes on, I'm almost a little more scattered, but I share what I feel God is calling me to in the moment. You know, I'm halfway through this pregnancy. So coming up here, I'm going to have a lot of content about home birth. You know, we're home birthing this time. My first two were home births. Then we had a birth center birth because of legal stuff and where we lived. Now we can home birth again. So especially I was a first time mom home birther, which is very, you don't hear of that very much. Usually yeah. Women turn to home birth after a very negative medicalized birth situation. Yeah. So, you know, I should be sharing about, you know, how we prepare for birth, my doula. I've been sharing the interview questions that I asked my midwife. So all things birth related. I share things about food or gardening and what we're learning. It's very much, I feel like when I started the blog, I did have a lot more how-to and informational stuff in a more traditional sense. And all of those posts are still on the blog. If you go to thenaturalcatholicmom.com, you can find the step-by-step of, you know, cloth diapers and laundry routines and natural products and all kinds of things like that. But right now, what I mainly write about is just on my Instagram at thenaturalcatholicmom, just whatever we're doing. And so that will ebb and flow depending on my season. Once the baby's born, I'm sure I'll be talking about breastfeeding. And
you know, oh, yes.
I stock a freezer really fully before baby comes. I'm very passionate about taking care of mom during postpartum. And I cook over a month's worth of food in advance and deep freeze it, which people think is silly. But I've had so many women message me and say, I've never thought of bulk cooking before a baby fell you. And that changed my postpartum experience. Yeah. So I basically am just sharing whatever tips or things I'm finding and learning that help retain sanity, live naturally, help our family and everything. And so it's not always as well laid out as I wish it was in this stage and how it used to be. But that is what I kind of share. And so hopefully, especially for younger moms, you know, my oldest is 7. So I know I am certainly not a veteran mom yet with lots of time in the trenches. But I always feel like sometimes it's helpful, especially for new moms, new wives, to have that person that doesn't have 10 kids yet and is so busy and doesn't even remember the early days.
Right.
Like, I remember what it's like so distinctly still.
You're a step ahead. Yeah. You're just a step ahead, right?
I'm a step ahead. And so I feel like some of my most positive feedback is the brand new moms who can relate to me a little easier. I don't have like a teenager yet that's really able to cook and clean and help and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think that's really helpful for us too, in terms of mentorship, to have somebody who's just a little further ahead on whatever journey we're on. And you know, A, they're still alive. This is helpful. Yeah. You know, but that they really understand where we're at. I kind of want to sort of define some terms. Like I was talking about earlier, there's sort of some confusion about what things mean. So sort of natural, healthy, attachment, those kinds of terms. How do you define or interpret those things so that sort of people know what we're talking about? And while we're defining that, why we're talking about it, why does it matter? Like, shouldn't we just do the easiest thing in this season, right?
Sure. Well, it's very hard to define. I feel like that sounds like a really liberal thing with Matt Walsh. Is like, what is a woman? Like, no one wants to define it.
What is attachment?
I think of natural in terms of most in accord with how God made things or intended things. And maybe natural is not always best. I was a C-section baby because my umbilical cord was wrapped around me so many times, I could not drop into the birth canal. So I am grateful for the C-section. The C-section in my mom's case was life-saving for both of us and was the better thing. But so there are exceptions. But in general, I think of natural as just being most in accord with how God made or designed things to work. It doesn't always mean it's what we can use, but I do think that there's usually benefits to it that people don't even realize, that very oftentimes, like, we're fighting against how God made things and we make life harder for ourselves. So, you know, when you eat more naturally, like with less processed, you know, additives and everything, well, we tend to have better health and we feel better. Maybe we get rid of chronic issues or we heal our kids' eczema or something. Or I feel like responding to babies' needs, recognizing what's biologically normal. There's an entire sleep industry, you know, built around products and schedules and training of infants fighting just what God designed, and everybody's so scared if they don't fight that from the start, they're going to create bad habits. But in the end, it's like, no, God designed babies to need us, to need to eat and be cuddled in the night. And actually, when you meet those needs, in most cases, you end up, everyone's a lot more well-rested and everyone's happier. So I feel like very oftentimes we think of natural being harder and more difficult, but very oftentimes it facilitates a happier family. And it's
it does. And it's usually simpler. Like I often think, you know, we have many times over the years, people comment on sort of breastfeeding, you know, extended breastfeeding, because I just let my babies wean, you know, whenever they were ready. And it wasn't something we pursued. They would just nurse and they would nurse to sleep. Well, that's natural. And, you know, I had advice from people, well, don't let them fall asleep at the breast. Well, that's what they do at the breast, right? So why would I wake them up and then put them in their crib? You know, like, didn't make sense, you know? And so there was just so many facets like that, that, and I would always come, for in my mind, I always go back to the village. Well, if we still lived in villages, how would this look? Right? How would this look? How would life look? You know, we certainly wouldn't be putting our babies in cribs, you know, wouldn't be safe, right? So we would have them sleeping with us. They would be snuggling and nursing through the night. Have you read the book, Breastfeeding Catholic Motherhood?
Yes, I have. It's been a long time. I read that when I was pregnant with Philomena, though.
So beautiful. Yeah, so beautiful. And she explains that so, so beautifully. And I would say, like, sort of from that definition, which I think is really lovely, you know, what is it from, how has God designed us, right? And what is the most natural thing that would be in accord with God's design, right? I think that's a beautiful, beautiful definition. How does that affect our spiritual lives?
Well, you know, I think that part of it is sometimes it might involve dying to self. For instance, it might be easier to, for some people, everyone's different. I always find, for instance, I just find the constant breastfeeding on demand all night, I find that easier. But sometimes it does require dying to self. And I do think spiritually we live in such an indulgent culture that does not want to be inconvenienced, have anything changed. And so sometimes by pursuing something natural, it will involve a certain measure of dying to self, or a level of inconvenience. You know, I can't, the way I breastfeed, I can't just say that Ethan and I are going to go have a night away in a hotel at 3 months postpartum. You know what I mean? Like, I have to choose my baby over that. It will not work. And so I do think spiritually that's good. And there's also a denial of certain conveniences. You know, I don't think that you're as morally culpable. There's so much removal, but let's just take aborted fetal cell tissue testing with like artificial flavors and colors. That's a real thing. You can Google it. It's horrific. You know, denying ourselves artificially colored stuff because I just want to make a little pro-life stance of I'm not going to eat or drink something that a little aborted baby was tested on. You know, I think that it can be a spiritually good thing of denial and just an act of goodness. And so, yeah, I always kind of think of it in those terms, in saying no to what might be at times more convenient or easier or just more mainstream. There's also a certain level to me sometimes of ridicule of doing things more in harmony. I've been made fun of a lot, especially as an early mom. And right before Philomena was born, there was a lot of teasing and stuff, but just kind of this confidence that, no, God made this way, and I'm going to trust him, and I think this will work out best for us, and not caring what people think. It kind of, sometimes it really gives you a dose of humility to do things that are not as commonly accepted because mainstream pursues more conventional ideals.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And yeah, all those, it's funny, because when I was thinking just briefly about sort of the benefits, those are some things I actually had overlooked in terms of just getting ready for chatting with you. Like, yeah, the dying to self, of course you're doing that all the time. And when you're in it, you're thinking about that all the time. Like, I will die to self. Like, you just, it's a conscious choice to die to self all the time. What was going through my mind was the benefits of that you're more, if you're healthy, you're more spiritually able to grow. I think you're more spiritual, you're more able to be your best self in a sense, right? I mean, those two things combined are just, you know, a pretty powerhouse kind of thing. And when we think about sleep too, I think that we often think that, okay, well, if my baby sleeps with me, I'm not going to sleep as well. But, you know, I found the opposite to be true, that I actually slept better, but I had to get over that hill first, right? Like, okay, what, you know, I'm going to have to let this go and embrace what is. And then, yeah, you know, the whole family started sleeping better. So it just made such a difference to then the more you open yourself up to what is it God wants of me, right? And it, I think we're hesitant to ask that question sometimes because it might be, you know, it might hurt or it might require change or whatever. I sort of want to just dive into some advice, if you know what I mean. If you were had a young mom watching you and saying, I'm loving what you're saying, I'm loving what you're doing, I don't even know where to start, what would you say? Like, how would you guide them in terms of where do we start in the journey of health and more natural living and more living in accord with God's will?
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously there's so many different things it can touch and we can only tackle one thing at a time. So usually when a mom messages me panicked and upset, there's something specific. Maybe she's expecting a baby and she knows that she wants to try for a natural birth or an out-of-hospital birth or something, but no one understands and she's so scared. So then we start there. You know, let's look up doulas. Let's read about what's biologically normal for birth. Let's read positive natural birth stories. You know, let's talk about what matters to you and your husband and not worry about what Aunt Karen says. If someone messages me, sometimes I very oftentimes get the message of panic over a health issue with a child. You know, maybe there's eczema or constipation or something. So then we probably start with diet. You know, just I think one of the best things you can do with diet before you go down the Weston A. Price rabbit hole or all the different things is just, was it made in a factory or was it like grown or made how God intended it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just stop buying so much packaged stuff and just have fats and
right. You
know, the best quality meat you can and produce. And, you know, it simplifies things. And so I very oftentimes feel like whatever is most pressing to us is usually weighing on us the most.
Right.
And just start looking, even if it's as simple as Googling, you know, if it's cleaning products, you guys are having rashes and, well, you know, something's irritating our skin. So then just just remove artificial fragrances first. They're in so much and they cause so many issues. Just as simple as looking on the back of all the cleaning products and things and seeing, does it say fragrance? Because that stuff is super toxic. And so I usually find that by very oftentimes it's not adding things into what we do. It's usually taking away, like simplifying the diet, simplifying the cleaning products. Like we had family over for my daughter's first communion party this weekend. And they were like, where's your Windex? Cause they wanted to, there was a mark on the kid had made a mark on the window. And I just said, oh, I don't use Windex. I said, I just flick hot water on the window and wipe it with a cloth. And they just kind of like, we're stunned, but it's like just that simple. I can get rid of like this super nasty smelling, fragrance filled, endocrine, hormonal interrupting product just by using flicked hot water on the mirror in the bathroom or whatever. So, you know, just what feels most pressing and just start reading and Googling a little bit. There's always going to be varying advice out there, but I do feel like usually you will find a general consensus with enough reading. Like, you know, the general consensus amongst most people now is artificial fragrance is really disrupting to our hormones. And it wouldn't take very much Googling of natural cleaning solutions to find that being listed. And you can just start kind of simplifying things that way.
Right.
One bite at a time and what's most pressing. You cannot change everything at once. We just have to see what's most pressing now. And then we'll tackle other things later. You know, the mom that is due in 3 months with her first baby and she's panicked about breastfeeding and natural birth, she does not need to overhaul their diet tomorrow. We've got to tackle this first. And then we'll worry about the next thing. Because I just think there's also a surrender that no one does it all perfectly. And God will just supply where we need him to in the meantime. You know, we can only tackle just a little bit at a time and it's less scary to start making the transitions.
Yeah, that's really wise, Mariette, because I think that, you know, the person, the individuals, there's no point in rehauling your cleaning products if what you're worried about is birthing your baby, right? Mm-hmm. You know, or what you're worried about is the diet, you know, that you have and you want to improve it. There's just, and we do sort of do these things in stages, right? And that's okay. It's not going to be, you know, over the course of sometimes over the course of 5 years or whatever, that we sort of slowly, there's a ripple effect, I find. There's a ripple effect. You know, you look at one thing like natural childbirth and suddenly, oh, that really made sense. And that was really good. And that empowered me. What else am I maybe doing in a way that's just culturally normal, and I haven't really thought through what is best for me and what's best for my family, right? So it's a really good sort of place to start with people, is what's weighing on their mind the most. And something always will be, right? It's always starts with something.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Say we narrow it down. You've got somebody who you're working with, you're talking with, and they have an issue that they want to be dealing with. Maybe it's birth. For me, whenever I start on some sort of embarkation of self-improvement, or I want to start small, right? Because I have found that to be the most effective way for me. I want to start really small, but I also at the same time want to know where I'm going. Where would you say, like, say natural birth, where would you say, okay, if we start small here, what are the steps? What's the big picture and what's my next step? Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if a mom were writing me about that, I would say, if she was Catholic, I would say get Mary Hazeltine's book, Made for This, The Catholic Mother's Guide to Birth. It's just a simple book. She touches on the spiritual aspect of birth. She goes actually into a ton on what's biologically normal, interventions, all kinds of things. I would just say, just start with this book. Or you, something else I find very helpful is, find a woman in your community that had births that she loved. You know, find that mom at church, or you could go, you know, find a La Leche League meeting. You'll find moms. Find someone that loved their birth, or come talk to me because I've loved my birth, and I'll point you in the right direction. Usually you can just start with a simple book. I don't agree with absolutely everything in it, but Mama Natural's Week by Week Guide to Pregnancy and Childbirth, it's kind of her answer to the what to expect when you're expecting series,
right,
which is just like really
quick. Yeah.
Just start reading a book. You know, with breastfeeding, there's so much information out there, but like that Catholic Mother's Guide to Breastfeeding, just get one book. Just talk to one mom. You don't have to get advice from a million places to start, and you'll start to see what resonates with you. Whenever a mom writes me and she's interested in natural childbirth and she's scared and she just doesn't know where to start, I say, just go interview a midwife. You know, just find a mom in town who's had great births she loves. Ask her what midwife she loved and just go interview them. You know, we don't think of interviewing. I feel like in kind of our modern society, I don't know if it's different in Canadian culture, but in American culture, doctors are very much almost like a god. Like, everyone is scared to like step over them or step on their toes or to ask questions. It's kind of like when you walk in the room, they're in charge. Mm-hmm. But a good doctor knows he works for you and that it's not wrong for you to ask questions and get clarification, et cetera. So I interview midwives. I use that term.
Absolutely.
To our new area here a year ago. I wanted to meet the home birth midwives in advance because home birth midwives book up very fast, especially in the age of you-know-what, when people are trying to get out of the hospital. And I texted them and I just said, or emailed, you know, I'm new in the area. I want to interview you. And to them, that was totally normal. So just find a midwife, find a doula, and just start asking questions. Mm-hmm. And it just has to be that one point of contact with someone or one simple book. And just start reading. And if you have any underlying fears with birth or anything else, I oftentimes think the fear probably will lead to the answer. So I came to natural childbirth because my mom, and I'm not saying all hospitals are like this because I know they're not, but my mom had incredibly traumatic hospital births. It absolutely was medical abuse multiple times. She was treated horrifically. She was pumped so full of Pitocin, being told she had a quote-unquote lazy uterus, and now watching me birth just like her, but naturally, we just see our bodies just don't dilate quickly, and birth is very, it lacks any kind of pattern. I will push out a baby with contractions 10 minutes minutes apart. And that's unheard of in the hospital system. So my mom was treated horribly. And my mom does not speak fondly about birth. She doesn't like to talk about birth. She looks like a train ran over her in her first photos with us kids. Because it was so horrific. Sad. And I just had this fear. Like, I don't want to be so upset with my birth like mom is. And that, like, opened up everything to natural childbirth for me. And so just by, if you have a fear too, I think just finding out information on that one specific fear will oftentimes, it'll lead you to so many more answers just by starting with that one thing. What are you afraid of with birth? What's scaring you about this? And that'll probably lead you to the answer if you can just face that fear and make
it. Yeah, so important. When you were starting this journey, what were some of the resources that really helped you in the beginning? Like, what would you, if you, and I'm talking about birth, I'm talking about natural living, all of that, the whole gamut. What were the resources that really resonated with you, you know, when you first started having kids or when you first started your family life?
Well, her name is Sarah, and she is one of my bridesmaids and one of my dearest friends. And Sarah is 10 years older than me and like 9 years ahead of me. and Sarah took me under her wing when I was a young single woman and everything through. I literally just wrote her this weekend with one of my needs. Sarah took me under her wing and she told me how to ferment vegetables and how to make, you know, whatever. She never preached to me, but she saw I was eager to learn. She answered my questions and so much about everything from cleaning or the spiritual life, you know, my relationship with Ethan, meeting him. She guided me and she mentored me. And I don't think you can replace like a person. And I think that's part of why, even though I don't have a huge following at all by any means, I have a very dedicated one. And I think that's because people are so desperate just for someone to talk to. So my best resource was a wife and a mother who had already been there and done that and cleaned up the diet and started to homestead and, you know, grew food and birthed babies at home. And Sarah was the absolute most vital. And she's one of the most like holy, cheerful, just beautiful homeschooling mother. She reminds me of you. In fact, I wrote her when I discovered your book, and because she and I talk about, you know, more gentle parenting, and she, you know, you two would be on the same page with everything I told her. Sarah, I have a book for you to recommend to moms now. When they asked about parenting, it could be you writing this book. And so I think that, you know, there's so many different resources out there. There's great doctors you can find. There's natural doctors. There's great Instagram accounts. But to me, if you can find a woman in your community or even online, maybe she's not in your community, if you can find and connect with a more experienced person who's a little further down the ways, she has so many resources for me. I've learned so much from her.
We all need a Sarah, right?
That other mom. Yeah. Everyone needs a Sarah. And then I am honored. I have a few younger mom friends now from a parish that we just moved from actually in the last year. And they'll ask me the same questions I used to ask her. And it's like, I can finally pass on that wisdom. So it's that real sharing. The best resource is the woman, I think, that has already done it. And you'll get the best subsequent resources there.
What a beautiful thing. Now, I mean, in person is always going to be way better than this, but isn't it a beautiful thing that we have that resource online now where we can actually meet face to face like this, you know, and it's less great than having a person there, but it's still not, it's so different than being alone or just reading a book, right? It's so different because you're talking to a
real... I actually love on Instagram, very oftentimes if someone messages me, if it's more than just a super quick answer, I just do audio transcription to people because for one thing, it's faster for me. I realize they have to slow down and listen. It's slower for them, but very oftentimes someone will write me back or they'll talk back to me in an audio message. And I'm like, thank you so much for letting me hear your voice and sharing that. Because like we need that human connection as moms.
We do so badly. Oh gosh, it just sends chills down my spine. I don't know if you listen to my episode on community.
I don't know if I have or not on that one.
we interviewed our best friends, my husband and myself and our best friends. Yeah. And it's just so vital. Like that whole real living, breathing community was just so vital for raising our kids and being able to do what we did back in the day, especially when it was just uncommon. Right. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I can't imagine not having that. But I also recognize that there's just this unbelievable blessing of the online ability to connect on a much wider scale. And I mean, I think that's what podcasting allows too, right? People actually hear your voice, they hear your conversations. Yeah. You know, it's just natural, right? And I think that's the real draw of podcasts is it's that you actually feel like you're entering into somebody's life, right? Yeah.
And you're not alone. You hear the voice and you see that this is not just
you. Oh, I love it. Okay, where are my other questions? Okay, so Sarah's not available to us, so but you are, and so people can, it's okay if people message you via Instagram or whatever.
Okay, lovely.
When you go, kind of going back to starting where you need to start, is whatever's pressing for you. If you try and start something all at once, it flops because you take on too much and you think that, okay, there's just no way I can do this. This is not working for me. And so you kind of give up on the idea. So starting small is always a good idea. Creating good habits in terms of, say, let's talk about our diet. We know that the creation of good habits is virtue, right? And that's how we train ourselves to be virtuous. Where can we start there in terms of creating good habits around food and around diet?
Sure. I would say that the starting point is usually getting rid of what is worst in our diet. So, I think anything with artificial colors, I cannot like get over how incredibly nasty those are. I believe it's banned in Europe to have artificial colors and food not labeled, advertised towards kids, because it causes such hyperactivity. It's linked to cancer. It grows tumors on rats when they're exposed to a lot of artificial colors. So, first just looking at, what can I take out? What can I make myself? Gluten has such a bad rap, or, bread and things. And it's like, if you just make properly fermented sourdough, the fermentation process eats up most of the gluten anyway. And most people that are gluten sensitive can eat it. And when you get used to sourdough and you figure it out, it's really not that hard. There's just starting, small with what extra sugar, what extra additives. If you start reading labels and you can't pronounce it, or,
probably a bad idea.
What does this do for me? My starting point with natural food was the blog 100 Days of Real Food by Lisa Leek. She has three books out. Now, does she get into the finer points of things like fermentation and the preparation of grains and legumes and all that? She doesn't. Their family's basic thing was just real food was defined as anything with 5 ingredients or less, that's all pronounced, et cetera. Her books are great.
Wow.
I've modified a lot of her recipes as our journey has kind of progressed. For instance, if I'm going to make something with a grain, I'll prepare it properly, with fermenting, soaking, et cetera. But I still use her stuff as a baseboard. But, in fact, I would recommend to anyone, get the first 100 Days of Real Food cookbook if that's where you're starting. She'll get the junk out, and then you can proceed with what your family needs, maybe you have to remove dairy, or you need a different source of dairy, or you want to improve the quality of your meat, but just getting what you should not be consuming, because it is just like some genetically engineered thing from some lab, getting rid of all of that will help a lot just to start.
Yeah. 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 And there's so much incredibly delicious food that's just food, right? It's just meat. It's just fruit. It's just vegetables. It's just olive oil.
One of my favorite ways to make any vegetable is just to roast it with avocado oil or coconut oil and salt and pepper. And I will serve people roasted beets or roasted carrots or roasted Brussels sprouts or whatever. And I always am like, can I get this recipe? These are the best beets I've ever had. And it's like, it's oil and salt and pepper and thyme in the oven. But, sometimes we just overlook the simple as being so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more you get crap out of your diet too, food starts to taste better, right?
Yes. And there is a reality that taste buds actually do change, and it does take time. I know when I moved to Cleveland when Ethan and I were dating. I was there 6 months before we got married, and I started cooking from my apartment and just feeding the poor boy. He needed it, and he lost so much weight just from me cooking real food. And he also, his taste buds changed. At first he resisted some of the healthier stuff, but after a while it was like, that was just normal. And he loved it and he craved it, but he had to kind of reset taste buds that were truly used to only eating like frozen and takeout for the last 10 years, you know? So sometimes there is a bit, and children, if they've been exposed to a lot of processed junk, even my own children, like, I try my best, but over Christmas, you know, when inevitably you're being gifted or you're buying extra treats, and sometimes you kind of have to reset those taste buds a little bit to be content with the less chemically stimulating taste, because those artificial flavors are designed to be so hyper stimulating, and you got to get that out of your system. So you appreciate regular things.
Yeah, and you really notice it too. Like if you know, not eating much sugar, and then at Christmas time suddenly you're eating treats, and it's suddenly like, whew, I'm so tired. What, like, no kidding, it's going to affect children, right? If we feel it as adults. Yeah. Okay. So, what would you say is the one or two biggest benefits you've experienced from moving to a healthy, more natural environment, a healthy, more natural lifestyle? What would you say, the sort of overarching?
I would say it fosters a sense, especially for the family as a whole, of like curiosity, you know, like my girls are learning right alongside me with sourdough and fermenting things. You're actually learning a lot and you're curious, you know, why is the starter bubbly? Why does it need this? Why do you eat the sauerkraut before it's cooked? You know what I mean? You don't cook it. No, because the probiotics, I think it fosters a certain sense of curiosity and learning. You know, there's always so much to learn. There's a lot of wonder when you start embracing, even just, you know, my midwife, my home birth midwife comes to our house and everybody's around, and you know, she'll pop that Doppler on the heartbeat for me really quickly. And the girls all just see this natural wonder. You know, they're going to be here when the baby is born if they want to be. And it's like, so it sparks this curiosity and just, I feel like this love for life when you start doing more yourself, you know, taking things more into your own hands. I think that's a big thing. And I also think that it does involve a slower, more intentional way of life. Sometimes there is more delayed gratification mm-hmm. if you're going to make it yourself or do it yourself. We made properly fermented sourdough ravioli for my daughter's first Holy Communion dinner. Everyone formed by hand. The dough was made this weekend, and it was spectacular. My family in town, they just raved about it. And that, you can't eat a ton because it's too time consuming. We do that. That's our Christmas Day meal. We made it for her first communion. You know, that's something special.
Amazing.
You just buy everything pre-packaged when everything is just done cheap from a factory. You just kind of have this constant instant gratification and nothing is special anymore. But when our choices require us to be more intentional, when it takes more time, when it's slower, I think you really value things mm-hmm. more, whether it's what you're eating or wearing or growing or learning. And it requires you to, you have a newfound appreciation for things. You know, when dessert usually only comes in the form of something that was homemade with love, you might have dessert less often than if you just had candy bars in the house all the time. But I would argue you get way more satisfaction from the intentionality of, you know, what you do yourself that's better for you. So I definitely think curiosity and just kind of that intentionality, they both, you know, are
great,
just huge benefit.
Yeah, and I want to put a qualifier in here because I think, you know, there could be moms listening to this and thinking, oh, I couldn't possibly ferment my own stuff. I couldn't possibly sure. make my own bread. I couldn't possibly, you know, grow vegetables. I couldn't do those things. But when you embrace those things as you're homeschooling, you don't have to add more in. I mean, there's so much science involved there. There's so much social studies. There's so much math even. Like, there's so many things that you just have to embrace the opportunities for education when you decide to take on something that looks like another thing. Instead of seeing it as another thing, seeing it as just the opportunity for education, and that is your education, as opposed to doing that as well as your education, right?
And also you can recognize when you're at your max. We were sick, really sick 2 weeks ago. And then this first Holy Communion was coming up and I had to feed a house full of people for 3 days. And Ethan was looking, I was just beside myself in tears coming off of this illness. Everyone was coming in. So Ethan was looking at the list with me and my husband said, I want you to scratch off sourdough tortillas and just buy them. And it killed me a little inside because I was just like, no, the stuff that I can get at the store is so junky when I have access to it at my Walmart. And he's like, we just have to draw the line somewhere. He said, just scratch it off. Sometimes you just have to scratch it off, you know. And there are times I just buy the store-bought loaf of bread with the dough conditioner in it, the best I can get, but it's still not great. You know, there is also, I never want to appear as though, you know, everything's perfect all the time. There's also that recognizing of I am just human and I've hit my limit. And maybe you can't take on homemade fermenting of anything right now. Maybe for whatever reason, with your health issues and the new baby and, you know, the husband out of town, you can't take it on. Even just taking on one or two good things is better than calling defeat on everything. And then as things become your normal, when you're brewing your kombucha or when you're, you know, having your natural childbirths or whatever, when breastfeeding that baby becomes second nature, you can take more on. Mm-hmm. You know, everything does not happen at once. So yes, you have to know your limits too.
And yeah, know baby steps.
Buy the sourdough, the store-bought tortillas. Cause
yeah. Yeah, you know, baby steps and you know, what you can do at the time. Absolutely. We can only do the same as homeschooling, right? Like, don't, you know, you don't have to dive in and do everything at once. You know, you don't need to teach your 5-year-old Latin. It's not necessary, right? You know, you can when you're up to it, right? And it's a good thing. My last question. So just, we sort of touched on this already, but I'm going to redirect the question a little bit. If you saw, like Sarah was for you, okay, if you saw a young woman or young mom, what was it that you, how would you draw her into that? How did Sarah draw you into that? What was the formula? What was the magic that made that happen? Because I think that us as older women need to open ourselves up to the mentorship of younger women. And I think younger women need to be open to being mentored. And I think, you know, many of us are looking for it. We're seeking truth. We're seeking beauty. We're seeking goodness. And so how do we make that happen?
I think you need to find people that when you look at how they live their life, when you look at their family, and in your head, you just think, I want that. That's, you know, who you latch onto. You know, everyone will be called to or be attracted to different things. When I saw Sarah, I saw a family that was so centered around the mass, around their family, I think, grows now 85%. They raise or grow 85% of their food. They weren't doing that when I knew her way back when she first came in.
It's a process.
I saw the growth, the desire they had to be self-sufficient. I saw how beautiful it was as a family. And I just thought, I want to do what Sarah does. I saw her joy and excitement at birth. And I thought, I want to be joyful and excited about my birth. And that qualifier, of course, again, that's not to say you have failed if there was some medically necessary reason that precludes you from natural childbirth. I'm not saying that. But I saw someone that didn't have trauma over her birth, and I thought that was so beautiful. So finding people that when you see how they talk to their children, how they raise their children, the family culture, do you sit around their table when they have you over for dinner and you know, you just feel like, oh, I just want this, or I wish we had this. That's how I feel like you kind of find, you know, those people that are really worth being mentoring for you, you know, and being able to also recognize the voices that are not helpful. You know, there were so many voices when I was that young mom pursuing stuff that I could just tell, this is not right for me. And you just felt it, you know, like, I don't want to do that with my kids. I don't feel good about X, you know, but so just knowing that it's okay to let go of those voices and then to pull to the ones that you just see. Like, I feel like when I look at your Instagram, like, oh, I just want to have, you know, be a grandma like Bonnie's a grandma. Like, I feel like that draws me to you, how much you just seem to revel in it. Find to you, you see delights in their life and everything, and in the faith and how they incorporate it. And that's like where you will find the best mentorship.
Such good advice. I love it. Thank you so much. This has been so delightful. And I encourage people to follow your Instagram and check out your website, because it's really, really lovely. And it's gentle. It doesn't make you feel like you're not doing it right because you're not doing these things. And that gentle touch of yours is just so important and so lovely. And thank you for all that you do.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. God bless, and have a wonderful week.
You too. Bye.
Bye.